Postal Post have packages in by December 16th for them to arrive by Christmas. Later than that, you'll need priority or express mail and give greeting cards 2 or 3 days for most locations in the U.S. Gene Coletta, Washington.
A new Quinnipiac University poll finds 61% of New Yorkers say they love New York. 1% hate the place. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. If you're a regular listener just tuning in, well, looks like you missed half a show already. I've spent the last hour debating Jim Greenfield on his show, which precedes mine on the TalkStar Radio Network. Jim Greenfield calls himself the greatest debater. I don't know whether that's meant tongue-in-cheek. I think it probably is. But in any case, I'm welcome him back on my show to continue the debate we had in the first hour. Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, it's a lot more relaxing to be the guest than the host.
Isn't it, though? You don't have to control the pace. It actually is a lot easier. I also want to thank all the callers that called in to Jim's show, Dave and Gordon and Jack and Ed, and invite you to call in again here. I will give you time on the air. Whether you agree as Jack did or disagree as Ed did, you're always welcome on the program. I'd like to explore a little bit of what Ed from New Jersey brought up in the last hour, Jim, because it seems to me that what you were saying just before the break, at the end of your show, is somewhat similar. Ed was comparing Saddam Hussein to Hitler. You were saying, Jim, that if Zarqawi takes over, he might invite Saddam Hussein back, and then wouldn't it be awful? And, you know, it kind of reminds me of actually what our caller Gordon brought out when you had said on your program, you invited a guest that said we have nuclear footballs in the United States. We had Dick Cheney indeed tell us, and I think even you agree, Jim, that it was overstated. I would argue it was a lie, that Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons. We see all these threats, all these fears. Nuclear weapons are going to come in the United States. You know, Osama bin Laden is going to take over Iraq. And it seems that these fears are used to convince us to do one policy or another, and a lot of times they're not borne out. And it seems to me that one of the problems with having a president that's not presenting the intelligence, the real intelligence we have, to the American people, and no, I don't mean names and sources, but the actual considered judgment of the CIA, State Department, and so forth, is that when you have a president who is manipulating the case for war, who is making a legal brief, who's exaggerating everything, you have no idea who to believe. If we had a reputable source in the CIA or the State Department, an intelligence agency, not a political appointee, but some civil servant who handles intelligence, somebody, frankly, like Richard Clark, who worked for both Democrats and Republicans, if they were to say this was a real threat, I might take it seriously. But to me, Jim, the president and the administration has cried wolf so many times, I just don't buy it. Can you understand that?
Yeah, well, for, first of all, I don't really hear that coming much from the Bush administration. If you want to read Paul Williams' book, it's extremely well documented, and he cites a variety of highly authoritative sources, including high-level people in American intelligence and the military, and not just America, but people from other countries, former Soviet officials who say yes, nuclear weapons were sold to Al Qaeda on the black market, and all the documentation of these unaccounted for nuclear weapons. It makes a compelling case. Now, is it right? I don't know.
Well, see, here's my problem.
I certainly wouldn't dismiss it, but I think, you talk about these fears and the fears cause us to adopt these irrational policies. Just remember the saying that even paranoids have real enemies. And the way I look at this, Mark, and I gather you don't look at it this way, is that the United States was engaged in a life and death struggle against Nazism in the 1940s and the Axis alliance of Japan, Germany, and Italy. It was a life and death worldwide struggle, which fortunately we won. And then we got into the Cold War, where for 45 years after that, we were engaged in a worldwide international struggle, life and death struggle against international communism, which fortunately we won that struggle too. I think that the struggle that we're in now against Islamofascism is even more dangerous and more threatening than either of those two isms. And for reasons which I'd be happy to explain to it. And if you look at it in that context, if you accept that premise, then it makes sense to say, okay, the war in Iraq shouldn't have been part of that struggle, but because of our missteps, it's become part of that struggle, and therefore we have to win it.
Jim, please let me be clear. I do not dispute the real danger of Al-Qaeda and what you call Islamofascism. I don't dispute that at all. They murdered 3,000 Americans. I, like you, I'm sure, very much advocated for us to go into war in Afghanistan. I still think, in fact, that we should take 100,000 troops from Iraq today and move them to Afghanistan, to Pakistan, to track down Al-Qaeda, to find Osama bin Laden, to find Mullah Omar. That's a name that no one talks about anymore. He was the head of the Taliban, the head of Afghanistan. He's still on the loose. Absolutely, we have to track them down. We have to track down the terrorists that are sitting in Saudi Arabia, the government of Saudi Arabia that knew about 9/11. Nobody talks about that either. I don't discount the threat, but it seems to me that when you're talking about Iraq, everyone plays with analogies. You and Ed from New Jersey want to talk about the Nazis. I want to talk about Vietnam, because it seems to me that the exact same arguments that are being made today were made in Vietnam. If we leave Vietnam, the communists will take over and all hell will break loose. Well, guess what? The communists did take over, and it wasn't great for Vietnam. I'll concede that. But 20 years later, Vietnam is already making deals with the United States. It is its own independent nation. Doesn't necessarily do things the way we would want them to do, but at least Americans aren't dying there anymore. And I'd like you to just consider, Jim, and we'll get back to this after the break, whether or not Iraq might go the same route with or without us, just as Vietnam did, and find its own equilibrium where its own people decide its own future. And after all, isn't that what democracy is all about? Toll-free number, 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Do you dream of leaving your traditional 9-to-5 job, working whenever and wherever you want? Now it's possible to make your dream come true. In a moment, I'm going to give you a website that you'll want to visit to get started for free, joining over 7 million others just like you who've used this service. Just listen.
Last year I earned well over $150,000, and this year looks even better.
If you've ever dreamed of starting your own home business, you'll want to visit our website and do what thousands of others just like you are going to do today.
I only work 3 days a week, and I'm up to $4,000 a month.
Over 7 million people aren't wrong. You owe it to yourself to start living your dream. So log on to this website, 20cashpower.com. That's 20cashpower.com. And get started today. It's free. So go to 20cashpower.com and start living your dream. 20cashpower.com.
Born with a rare birth defect and living in a Russian orphanage, Elena had little chance of ever walking. But when her adoptive family brought her home, they found help and hope at a Shriners hospital where she was fitted with prosthetic feet.
We wouldn't be where we are if Shriners hadn't taken care of us.
Shriners Hospitals offer some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive
testing,
research programs.
Testing, testing, testing voice Shriners levels. Hospital quick test on yeah, voice levels.
Not only with yeah, the that medical sounds good. Side of it,
okay.
But the human side of it and making
yeah,
it a
normally,
family experience for us.
I try to Elena keep you above the collar.
Okay, all right.
I don't
yeah.
think
that's,
there's
that's
even
fine.
Words to really thank Shriners for everything they've done. Their care is phenomenal.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. If you are just joining us, you've entered a marathon two-hour debate with the talk show host who precedes me, Jim Greenfield, host of the Jim Greenfield Show. And we've been talking, of course, about the war in Iraq. And if you want to call in and add your 2 cents, it's easy to do. Toll-free 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Dave in Northern California. Dave, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Ah, I wasn't even already ready yet. Anyway, it needs to be said, and I will say it, that I am definitely of the belief that we are in Iraq for the profits of a small cartel, a small clique of special interests that want to, one, rip off the treasury for all that they can through feeding it to their no-bid contractors, and they want to control the oil, not for the benefit of anybody in the world other than themselves. They want to have the oil in the hands of Texaco, Chevron. It's a total ripoff of not only the United States, but now invading another country, other countries, for the purpose of ripping them off. I throw Iran in that Afghanistan in that category as well, Mark.
Dave, to me it's abundantly evident that if you look at people like Ahmed Chalabi, who's now very conveniently controlling the oil in Iraq, this is a guy who was exiled from Saddam Hussein. He built up this Iraqi National Congress. It was him, in fact, who gave us so much of the faulty information, even though we were paying him tens of millions of dollars to collect that information. He gave us faulty information. In fact, some of it he gave to Iran. He stands to profit. Exxon stands to profit. Our companies stand to profit. All the no-bid contracts. Halliburton's profiting. To me, it's really, no matter what you think of the war, I think it's undisputable that all these, shall we call them, shady characters are clearly profiting from the war. Do you disagree, Jim?
Well, I wish you guys could persuade me that was true. I would love to believe that we actually had a rational reason for going to war, such as taking over the oil. But is it okay, Mark, if I go back to the points you were making before we went into the break?
Go ahead.
Okay, basically, you were presenting the dichotomy, whether we should look at the present system situation as being analogous to the war against the Nazis in World War II, or more analogous to Vietnam. And,
right.
And the question is, which paradigm is more accurate? Let me tell you something. First of all, I'm glad you brought up Vietnam because unlike you, I actually lived through the Vietnam War. My senior research paper in college was called The Vietnam War, American Policy in Vietnam, How to Lose a War That Isn't Worth Winning. And by the way, I got an A-plus on it. But,
well, so far we agree, Jim.
But it's a false analogy. Iraq has nothing like Vietnam. First of all, we didn't really have any tangible interests at stake in Vietnam.
We were stopping communism.
When we lost the war in Vietnam, there was no effect. There was no impact on us. I mean, it was seen at the time as part of this global struggle against communism, but the fact of the matter is that we didn't really have any tangible interests there. Secondly, whereas if we lose in Iraq, if Zarqawi takes over Iraq, that's going to be a major, major setback and problem for the United States. Secondly, the other reason it's a false analogy is that in Vietnam, what was wrong with American policy in Vietnam is that we were supporting an extremely unpopular minority military dictatorship government It was a Catholic government in a predominantly Buddhist country. The overwhelming majority of people in Vietnam preferred Ho Chi Minh to the South Vietnamese government. We were on the wrong side, and we were not trying to democratize. Not only did we not support elections, we prevented elections from occurring in Vietnam because our side would have lost.
Well, Jim, there were elections. There were elections in 19...
Iraq is we're actually promoting democracy. So that's a false analogy. The analogy to the struggle against Nazism is much more real and much more compelling because, you know there's a book by, not to go on too long, there's a book by Rabbi David Dalen called The Myth of Hitler's Pope, where he makes a compelling case that not only is the modern Islamofascist movement analogous to Nazism, but that the early Islamic extremists were actually working in close connection with the Nazis.
They were, Jim, and I don't dispute
it's
that.
Part of the same movement.
Jim, I don't dispute that, but see, you're doing the same thing. You, who knows, and I know you know this because you didn't support the war in Iraq, you know that Al-Qaeda and what you call Islamofascism, which I don't think is the most inapt phrase, I think there's certain truth to that, you know that that's different from the war in Iraq. And so you're conflating the two. When you say, for example, what if Zarqawi were to take over Iraq? Zarqawi is a foreigner, okay? Zarqawi is one of the less than 10% of foreigners in Iraq fighting our troops. What makes you think the Iraqis would allow Zarqawi to take power when more than 90% of the insurgents, not to mention the other Iraqis, aren't under his control?
Let's see. Osama bin Laden was Saudi Arabian, right?
Yes, he was, but he had the support of Mullah Omar of the Taliban.
Before the Afghan War.
Yes, he did, but he had the support of Mullah Omar.
His allies, the Taliban, supported by him and by Al-Qaeda,
right,
funded by him and Al-Qaeda,
right,
were able to keep power and use that power to protect bin Laden and to allow him to conduct his training camps and other nefarious
things
there.
That's true.
What makes you think the same exact thing couldn't happen in in Iraq? Maybe
I'll tell you why.
Zarqawi won't be the nominal leader.
I'll tell you why.
But maybe people who are allies of his will be. In fact, I think that's an almost certain certainty.
I'll tell you why.
Pull out now.
I'll tell you why. In Afghanistan, you had the Taliban. You had a fundamentalist religious group, okay, that was trying to control Afghanistan, trying to put very harsh Islamic regulations, women covered head to toe in burqas. They were, in fact, the worst treatment toward women of any country in the world today. That worst country, by the way, is Saudi Arabia. So they were trying, they supported religious fundamentalism. The government, I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda, I'm talking about the government of the Taliban controlling Afghanistan, wanted religious fundamentalism. Al-Qaeda wants religious fundamentalism. They were natural allies. The people in Iraq, including the ones that supported Saddam Hussein, by the way, were secularists. They did not believe in religious fundamentalism. They believed that there should be a Sunni state controlled by Sunnis. I think that they're
working together now.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Don't think they're allied now and working in close conjunction with each other.
They have a common enemy, which is us. If we leave, if we leave.
They weren't then, but they are now.
They're working together because they have a common enemy, which is us. The moment we leave, the reason why it's a problem is because we're there. The moment we leave, our troops go, guess what? Their alliance has to vanish. We are the only reason they're allied. We've got to take a break. We'll be back. I've got plenty of callers. I'm going to get to all of you right after the break.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-827-7658.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers in compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-827-7658. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-827-7658. That's 800-827-7658.
For many kids, high school graduation is still a dream, not a reality. For them, a brighter future might be within view, but not within reach. I'm Denzel Washington, and I'm asking you to help the thousands of children who need to be given that opportunity. call 1-800-854-CLUB and support a program that works. The Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
Denzel Washington for the Boys and Girls Clubs.
In my hand, I'm holding a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper that has kept millions of young people off drugs, out of gangs, and in school. It's a membership card from the Boys and Girls Clubs. Every day, another 300 kids will join clubs all across the country. That's 300 kids who will be picking up a membership card instead of a gun or a needle or a knife. You can help. Support the Boys and Girls Clubs, the positive place for kids.
To learn more, call 1-800-854-CLUB.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Tuesday here on the Inside Scoop. My guest is Jim Greenfield, whose show, the Jim Greenfield Show, precedes mine on Talkstar Radio. Just before the break, I was making the point that it is, in fact, our troops that are the reason why Iraq is becoming a lie. There are not many things that the Kurds, the Shiites, the Sunnis, and Al-Qaeda agree on. In fact, they're very different. They have very different agendas. But the one thing that they all seem to agree on, with the exception of the Kurds, who actually generally seem to like us, is that they want us gone. And so you have people of all disparate walks of life, people who hate each other, joining together to do the common thing, to attack our troops, which is why I think if we remove our troops, actually, there will be far more Iraqis who want to control their own country than to allow it to be controlled by a guy like Zarqawi.
Mark, you think that the majority of Iraqis support the insurgency?
No, I think the majority of Iraqis want us gone. Well, and in fact, the way to know that is the recent vote.
The majority of Iraqis support the insurgency?
No, I think the majority of Iraqis want us gone. I think a significant minority do.
Supports the insurgency.
I actually think the majority of Sunnis do. I don't think the majority of Shiites do, and I certainly know the Kurds support us there.
You know, there has been opinion polling there, and it shows that overwhelmingly the majority of Iraqis oppose the insurgency. And
not among Sunnis.
They hate these suicide bombers who are killing Iraqis.
All you had to do is look at the Constitution vote. You know this, Jim. The Sunni areas overwhelmingly voted against the Constitution, which they saw as U.S. imperialism.
Well,
I think there's very different.
But do you see what I just said?
I think I answered what you just said, Jim.
No, look.
The overwhelming majority of Sunnis.
Opinion polls have shown that the overwhelming majority of Iraqis, it's like 80 or 90%.
Jim.
Oppose the insurgency.
You're conflating.
Do you dispute that?
You're conflating three groups.
But do you dispute the fact?
Look, 60% of Iraqi is Shiite. Some 10 to 15% of Iraqi is Kurds. So if you take opinion poll, hold on, let me make my point, and then we got to get to some callers. But if you look at opinion polls and you pretend that Iraq is some unified country, then your point would make sense, Jim. But it's not. It's not.
The majority of Sunnis don't like the insurgency.
The majority of Sunnis and Shiites.
You do get that, right?
Okay. If the majority of the country, including the majority of Sunnis, don't support the insurgency, then terrific. Then the moment we leave, great. We will have a nice democratic Iraq. Sure, the Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds may fight each other, but you won't. You're actually making my point, which is that Zarqawi will not rule the area. Wait, if you talk over me, Jim, we can't have a conversation. Jim, if you talk over me, we can't have a conversation.
You don't need a majority. Saddam Hussein didn't have a majority of support.
Saddam Hussein had a stable dictatorship ruled over many years of oppression and terror.
And the Ba'athists who were fighting the United States are extremely well organized, well funded, and well armed. You don't think that they could take over?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's a ragtag group of people. Some are attacking the United States. Some are attacking fellow Iraqis. They are fighting for different reasons. They are nowhere near a unified force. The Ba'athists don't agree. Hold on. Now wait. You keep interrupting me, Jim. You got to let me finish a sentence. All right? The thing is that the Iraqis are not at all unified. You've got a less than 10% that actually is foreign, and of that, a small percentage of that is Al-Qaeda. All right? You've got some former Ba'athists, and you got a lot of Iraqis. In fact, the studies I've shown, more than 90% that just want us out of there. And to that extent, they represent the majority of the Iraqi people who just want us out of there. I know Dave's been holding on a long time. Dave, you have one last point.
Simplifying it, it's far more nuanced and complex the way that they feel about our occupation than that.
Well, the point is there are many different peoples, and they feel different ways. I want to get to Dave. I want to give him a chance to speak.
What is your question as to what would happen if the United States were to pull its troops out, let's say, over the next 6 months,
Whether we pull out or not, there's likely to be civil war, and I'm confident the Shiites will hold their territory, the Kurds will hold theirs, the Sunnis will hold theirs, and that's, I think, the way it should be.
And the country breaks up into three
parts. And I have no problem with that. The British, frankly, shouldn't have thrown these three peoples together in the first place. If they want to be three separate countries, to me, that's what democracy says. Self-determination is all about. We should support their liberty to be separate countries.
Well, I don't agree with your prediction, but it's just a prediction.
I believe that insurgents are largely Iraqis who don't like having their country occupied. And I'm also, I think I'm hearing Jim say that if the Khans invade there, am I on?
Dave, you are on, but we ran up against a break. I promise you will get first dibs after the break. I want to hear from Dave. We've got other callers on the line. You can join in this discussion at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back with a contentious debate Tuesday right after this.
This is Newsbreak. President Bush says it would be a huge mistake to start withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq. He also said bringing democracy to Iraq will be beneficial to all countries. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld noted upcoming elections in Iraq and cited solid progress in the training of Iraqi security forces. The 26th tropical storm of the year formed in the Atlantic today. That's a record number, but forecasters say we're entering a cycle of increased storm activity. It will probably last for two decades or more. The governor of Virginia has stopped an execution that would have been the country's 1,000th since the death penalty was reinstated in 1976. On Wall Street, the Dow dropped 2 points to 10,888. NASDAQ was down 6 points to 2,232, while the S&P 500 closed up a fraction at 1,257. There's more news at usaradio.com.
The following from News Broadcast Network. 40 years after the 1965 launch of Medicare, a drug benefit has been added to the program. Senator Bob Dole visited Tampa recently to promote the first day of enrollment for the new Medicare prescription drug benefit.
The enrollment period has begun, and it lasts until May 15th of next year, and the program will be implemented in January 2006. So that's been our basic message, just to let people know getting the right information is going to be very important.
The new Medicare prescription drug benefit is a voluntary program that's available to everyone on Medicare, regardless of income or pre-existing conditions. Enrollment runs from now through May 15th, 2006, and benefits begin on January 1st, 2006. Increased premiums will apply to those who miss the cutoff date. For more information, visit www.bobdoleonmedicare.com. I'm Lee Shepard. The preceding from News Broadcast Network.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Scientists think they have figured out how high-protein, low-carbohydrate diets work. Protein seems to suppress appetite, so people who eat more of it are likely to consume fewer calories. The investigators tried 19 people on three different diets. In the first one, they got 15% of calories from protein, 35% from fat, and 50% from carbohydrates. It lasted 2 weeks with enough calories to keep body weight stable. The next 2 weeks, the diet changed. It had the same total calories, but 30% were from protein. For 3 months after that, they followed the same pattern, but ate as much as they wanted. The subjects reported less hunger and ate nearly 450 calories a day less. Their average weight loss was around 11 pounds. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and a contentious debate Tuesday on the most contentious topic in America today. That is, of course, the war in Iraq. It does divide the American people. The majority now want to see us gone. and they disagree perhaps on whether we should leave right away or leave over a period of time. I myself think we should leave over a period of about a year. But that is the most contentious issue, with Dick Cheney basically going up and saying, hey, you are wrong. It is out of line. You can't even mention it politically to suggest that we purposely misled you on the war, all the way to people calling Jack Murtha, a veteran in the Marines, a veteran in Congress. You had a young congresswoman calling him a coward because he wanted to get our troops out. It is a contentious issue. She said that cowards cut and run.
A Marine officer as saying that anybody who cuts and run is a coward.
Right.
Yeah, but she didn't say that he was a coward.
She was definitely implying that he was. And to me, that's a very vicious kind of rhetoric. You should be able to argue about this war, whatever your position is, without being called a coward. Can you and I agree on that?
Yeah, Mark, but let me ask you about what the argument you made, that you think that your prediction is that if the U.S. pulls out now,
right,
or in the near future,
right,
that there will be a civil war and that Iraq will break up into three countries.
That's one possibility.
One controlled by Sunnis, one controlled by Shiites.
That's one possibility. That's one possibility, Jim. Another possibility is that it will be a unified country. The way I see it is that Iraqis should determine their own future. We shouldn't determine it for them.
Well,
What's wrong with that?
Let me ask you this, Mark. If the scenario that you predicted were to happen, do you think that the Sunnis, who used to control the whole country through Saddam, are going to sit by and let the Shiites take their country, control the oil there, the Kurds take their section of the country, control the oil there, and the Sunnis are going to be left in their section with no oil, and they're just going to sit back and say, oh, okay.
The Sunnis are less powerful than the Shiites. I think that the people will hold their ground. You may have something like the Dayton Accords, which you had in Bosnia, where you can actually divide up the lines of the country. If they want to stay a unified country, that's fine with me. If they want to be three separate countries, that's fine with me. But the point is, we, like Vietnam, we got no dog in that fight. It shouldn't be our business.
I think the Kurds who live in oil-rich territory, Jim, I would suggest that,
we're talking at the same time here. I think the Kurds who live in oil-rich territory and who support the United States of America, I think that, frankly, they'd be fine independent. There is no independent Kurdish state anywhere in the Middle East. I personally have supported an independent Kurdish state long ago, even before we invaded Iraq to begin with. I think at the end of the day, it's up to the Iraqis to make their own decisions. I know that Dave's been holding on a very long time. Dave, you wanted to make a last point. Go ahead.
Well, I believe Jim is saying, if I'm hearing him right, that
you're not hearing me at all.
If indeed we invaded the Middle East to grab their oil, that was a good thing, as he sees that. And I think I'm hearing that.
No, I didn't say that at all. I just said that it makes more sense as an explanation than the explanations we got from the Bush administration, which don't make much sense to me at all.
Well, on that, we all three agree.
And several times I've asked you if you're familiar with the PNAC.
Dave, you understand that I was opposed to invading Iraq.
I understand you were once a lot wiser than you are today, from what I'm hearing.
No, I still think it was a mistake.
Jim,
it was a dumb, dumb decision.
Jim, on that we are all three agreed.
But there's good rationale for it, because but if they said, well, if they did it for the oil, well, at least they had a reason for doing it. But that's not.
Jim, let me give Dave a chance to finish what he's saying, and then we've got another call on the line too.
I thought he had finished.
Go ahead,
well,
Dave.
I've several times asked Jim if he'd had the chance to read the PNAC documents where the Khans laid out their intentions to invade Iraq and to take over the oil wells. And he each time said, no, he hadn't. Could I send it to him? Could I tell him where he could find it? I've done that several times. Have you read it yet?
Yeah. Do you know about the Project for a New American Century? Have you heard about that? Do you know about it, Jim?
Dave
mentioned PNAC. PNAC stands for PNAC. It's a Project for New American Century. It was a group of neoconservatives who, during the 90s, plotted a plan to make Iraq a democracy and the whole Middle East and to get oil from it. Dave's asking if you're aware of this.
Yeah, but understand, I am not one of those guys.
Right, no, I understand that. He just wants to know if you're aware of that.
I've heard of it.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you, guys.
Now, let me tell you...
Dave, thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
...the policy of precipitously pulling our troops out. Mark?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you did make one point, which I think is very good, which is that we should be sending a message to the newly elected Iraqi government. Look, the faster and sooner you guys can stand on your own, the better. And you need to understand we're not going to be here to hold your hands forever. And you need to get your act together and train your military and train your police forces and start governing this country. So, you know, I think there is some point to that, and letting them know, you know, there's political pressures being put on this administration. We can't keep our troops there forever, so you got to prepare for the day when we're going to be gone. So that's good. But the point, the argument that I want to make is that we should be planning to withdraw significantly reduce our troop strength in Iraq. However, it has to be tied to a program of making sure that the Iraqi government, the elected, democratically elected Iraqi government, is getting stronger by the day.
I think
so that we can afford to reduce our troops without it, without having leaving chaos.
And I think the best
future behind, without leaving a civil war. Well, we don't know what the outcome of that civil war. You think it's going to divide into three countries and everything's going to
I don't care, Jim.
Which
I don't care.
And may not. And I'm saying, why take a chance? Why?
I don't care if Iraq is.
That may end up with our enemies controlling that entire country when we don't have to. When we, if we take a little more time, a little more patience.
It sounds exactly like Vietnam, and I actually.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish
yep,
the point.
Okay.
And you know, to make sure that we leave behind a strong, democratically elected Iraqi government with a strong military to take our place. Why do that? We could do that maybe in a year or 2 years.
Or 5 years, or 10 years, or 25 years.
Why would we want to do that?
Because, Jim, and I do think you're repeating yourself here, I don't care whether Iraq is three countries or one country. I don't care whether I support an independent Kurdish state. I think they'd be better off by themselves than an Iraqi state. But that's not my decision to make. That's for the Kurds to make. We have to allow the Iraqis to determine their own future. And you can say in 1 or 2 years it would be better. That, in fact, Dick Cheney said we'd be greeted as liberators. It didn't happen. They told us the war was over, mission accomplished in May 03. It didn't happen. We now know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we have our generals on the ground testifying before Congress that it could be a decade at least before Iraq stabilizes itself. I don't want to lose at the rate of 1,000 a year. I don't want to lose 10,000 men and women in order to stabilize Iraq, and I don't frankly think it'll ever happen. I want to let them on their own. And I also think that these exact same arguments that you're making, Jim, were exactly the same arguments that were made in Vietnam. Oh, just stay 1 more year, 2 more years, 5 more years, 10 more years, 20 more years, and we'll eventually turn the tide in Vietnam. And the answer is the only thing that made Vietnam a peaceful nation, ironically, was because we left. And I think that we are the lightning rod. We are the reason for the insurgency. We are the reason people are attacking. Yes, you're always going to have some miscreants like Zarqawi that hate us and want to attack us. But the great majority of people attacking us, we know from the reports, more than 90% are Iraqi, and they're attacking us because they want to rule their own country. I need to get to a caller. We will get to him after the break. If you want to call,
where are you getting that from?
The generals. I will show you the reports. I'll be happy to show the reports. I know of no report, and I've seen every one of them. I know of no report that suggests the foreigners in Iraq are more than 10%. Every report I've seen shows they're less than 10%, and Al-Qaeda is a very small minority of those. Zarqawi may control 1%. I'm not worried about him. I do want to get to another caller. We'll get to him right after the break. If you want to join in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Is life moving too fast? If you're self-employed or a small business owner, you have no choice but to move as fast as you can. Sometimes you move so fast you don't take a close look at life's details. When was the last time you looked at your health insurance? If you don't have health insurance or if you have the wrong coverage, serious medical bills could mount up. That's where the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company comes in. We provide affordable health insurance for the self-employed and small business owners. If you don't have health insurance, call us. If you have coverage, call anyway. See if we can give you better coverage at a better price. Stay on track for affordable health insurance designed specifically for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call 877-735-6460. That's 877-735-6460. Home office located in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states and benefits may vary by state. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance. Call 877-735-6460 for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob McConnell, and as the host of the X-Zone Radio Show, I know that miracles really do happen. The IISR is asking for your support to help spinal regeneration get into the clinical trial stages. Spinal regeneration research will not only help those with spinal cord injuries, but will also help those with neurological diseases. Give today and let those know who are suffering that you really do care and that you want to be part of this real medical miracle. Help support doctors, scientists, and researchers who have come so far and are so close to making this miracle happen, and all it needs is your support. Please give generously. To make your online donation or to find out more about spinal regeneration, please visit the International Institute for Spinal Regeneration at www.iisr.net. That's www.iisr.net. Or mail your donation to the IISR, 762 Upper James Street, Suite 266, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L9C3A2.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Tuesday on the Inside Scoop. My guest is Jim Greenfield, host of the Jim Greenfield Show. We're discussing the war in Iraq and really whether it's more like the World War II or the war in Vietnam. I happen to feel it's more like the war in Vietnam. And on the line, I've got a Vietnam veteran who often calls into my show, and I'm always glad when he does. Gordon from Michigan, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, Mark. I was in Vietnam in 1969, and I find the situation in Iraq eerily similar to that. When I was in Vietnam, we were trying to, well, it was a year after Tet, and we realized that it wasn't going to be a win situation there. And Nixon had just won an election on being a peace candidate. He ran on the premise that he was going to cut back troops. And what we did, they had a plan to Vietnamize the Arvins. In other words, they were trying to make the Arvins self-sufficient, and not unlike what they're trying to do, they're trying to make the Iraqis self-sufficient. But the problem was, we could teach them military maneuvers, we could teach them how to fire a weapon, we could teach them how to go through certain orders and drills, but we couldn't teach them allegiance. And that, in the end, was what the fate of Vietnam was about. Our forces that we tried to train to prop up a puppet government just didn't work. And
well, Gordon, I have to agree with you.
Same thing happening in Iraq.
I have to agree with you. I don't think the Vietnamese are willing to fight for the United States, and I don't think the Iraqis are willing to fight for the United States. They will fight only for their own countries, and that's only going to happen when they know that we're not there permanently. We're not trying to get permanent military bases. We're not trying to steal all of their oil. We are on a planned withdrawal. We will help them on our way out, but let them know that we are not there to stay. It is their country, and they can be in control. And then, and only then, I think, they can beat back the insurgency. Jim, what's your view on this?
And were you there in Vietnam during that election there?
I was in there 69-70.
I think 68 was the election.
Were you there when the election was held there?
I think it was in 1968, Jim.
You see, there was no election there.
Yes, there was an election.
Oh, no, there wasn't.
Yes, there was an election in Vietnam. I'll source it and I'll give it to you after the break.
Two have been killed.
There was supposed to be an election in the early 1960s, and if it had occurred, Ho Chi Minh would have won in a landslide, and so the United States blocked that.
No, he wasn't in the election.
The United States was opposed to democracy in Vietnam.
Jim, I have to correct you. Hold on, I do have to correct you.
The communists in Vietnam were very popular, and they. Oh, by the way, you know this.
Well, Jim, I just have to correct you because you misstated a fact there. And I would suggest that anyone who wants to know if there was a Vietnam vote look at the New York Times article of September 4th, 1967. It's titled "U.S. Encouraged by Vietnam Vote: Officials Cite 83% Turnout Despite Viet Cong Terror." And there was an election in Vietnam. It was actually before Gordon was fighting there, but it was in 1967. And I encourage everyone who doesn't believe me to look it up on the internet.
Like bombings that were occurring in Vietnam?
The Tet Offensive was 68. The election was 67.
Do I remember suicide bombings?
Yeah, do you remember the communists conducting suicide bombings?
Of course. They ran into our units with satchel charges.
That's right. Against American troops, right? They were attacking American troops, right?
Among other people, among civilians.
They were doing suicide bombings and doing launching terrorist attacks against civilians.
Of course they were.
In Vietnam.
Did you read about Tet?
No, I'm sorry, they weren't. And you know why they weren't?
I'm sorry they weren't.
Well, hold on, Gordon was there, Jim.
No, you're wrong.
Well, hold on, Jim. No, wait, we can't have everyone talk at once. Hold on, we can't have everyone talk at once. Jim has said that the Viet Cong were not attacking civilians, were not doing suicide bombings. Gordon was there. Tell me what you saw, Gordon.
Well, I fought Viet Cong. I fought NVA. I remember an attack on Cameron Bay where they ran into a hospital unit with satchel charges and slid them underneath the hospital beds.
So they did attack civilians?
Of course.
Okay, Jim, I'm not sure where you're getting information.
That was a part of the South Vietnamese government. The Arvins attacked us also.
The other thing I think, Jim, is that not all insurgents attack Iraqi civilians. Yes, Zarqawi does. In fact, I think that the fact that he attacked civilians in Amman at that wedding hall actually lost him support among the Arab street. Most insurgents are just attacking the United States.
Mark, why are you having me on this show?
Why am I having you on the show?
If you're not going to let me say anything, why are you having me on?
I've asked you a question now.
You guys are double teaming me. You let me talk about 5% of the time. I can't get a point in, and every time I do try to make a point, you cut me off. So why are you having me on the show? What's the point?
Jim,
you cut me off on your show, Jim.
If you want to make
cut me off on your show,
only when we go into the breaks.
Sure.
Jim, go ahead.
Go into the breaks.
Jim, go ahead. Make your point.
Well, I got a whole bunch of them to make now.
Okay.
Okay, look, the best thing that the United States has going for us is that Zarqawi is a dimwit. The guy's a complete moron. He hasn't figured out that when you launch suicide bombing attacks against killing thousands of Iraqi civilians, that the Iraqi people will turn against you, which they have. Which they have.
You're just making my point, Jim.
The Iraqi people are overwhelmingly hostile to this insurgency, especially because of the suicide bombings, and they don't want Saddam Hussein back in power, and they don't want Zarqawi in power. They don't like it. It's unpopular. Now, you say that they're opposed to the American presence there. Their feelings are much more complex and nuanced and ambivalent than you're recognizing. They would like the United States to withdraw, but not if it means letting the bad guys win, and because they recognize what you don't seem to understand, which is that there'll be a total bloodbath if we do that now. Now, the fact of the matter is, I'm not diametrically opposed to you. I want to see the United States drawing down our troops, too. I just don't want to do it in a way that's stupid, that just hands victory over to the enemy. We can do it in a way that makes sense. We start drawing the troops down as our allies are getting stronger.
Jim.
Eventually, maybe in a year or two, we got to keep some. I think we should keep some presence there. But most of our troops will be gone, and any fighting that's to be done will be turned over to the Iraqis. That makes sense. To just pull out and let these terrorists take over that country. That's insane.
Okay, now let me speak. Let me speak.
At all.
Let me speak here. You, Jim. I think you've made exactly my point. The Iraqi people do not like Zarqawi. They do not like Saddam Hussein, and they do not like us. They do not want to be occupied by Al-Qaeda. They do not. Hold on now, let me speak. I'll let you speak. They do not want to be occupied by Al-Qaeda. They do not want to be controlled by Saddam Hussein. They do not want to be occupied by the United States. They do not want a permanent presence of U.S. troops taking over their country with military bases and controlling their oil fields. That is why many Iraqis support the insurgency. Not because they love Zarqawi. You're absolutely right, Jim. They hate Zarqawi. But they also want us gone. And if we're going to put Iraq on the path to self-sufficiency as one country or three, the only way that's going to happen is by making it clear that we have no permanent designs on that country, that we, in fact, are getting out. 877-528-TALK. We'll be back with the conclusion right after this.
When you're weary.
In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
Water, I will lay me down.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, there's a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today. Yourmorning.com.
Hey, where were you last year?
What happened to your hair?
Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We only have a few minutes left at the end of a marathon two-hour debate I've been having with Jim Greenfield, host of the Jim Greenfield Show, which precedes mine right here on the Talkstar Radio Network. I'll say one thing about Jim. The 2 hours have really flown by. Whenever I'm debating with Jim, it does seem to fly. Let me give Gordon one last word, then I'll get back to Jim. Gordon, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's time our government should level with us and tell us the truth and tell us the real reason we're in Iraq. That's for cheap oil, and they ought to realize that that oil is not going to be cheap. It's not going to be cost-effective, and that we should get out.
It's cheap to the wrong people. That's the problem, Gordon. It's cheap to our oil companies, but it's not cheap to taxpayers who have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars and thousands of U.S. lives to pay for it. Thanks very much for calling in, Gordon. I do appreciate it. Jim, I know you want to respond to Gordon. Go right ahead.
Well, actually, I want to respond to you.
Okay.
I think that you need to also understand part of the psychology of the people in Iraq right now. If they're looking at the United States and they're seeing, hey, we don't know whether the U.S. is going to see this through or not. Maybe the U.S. is going to pull out and Saddam is going to come back in power, or Ba'athist or Zarqawiist or whatever. That's going to make people afraid to support our side because they're going to be afraid what will happen to them, that they'll have their throats cut if the bad guys come back into power. So it's very important for us to send a message to the Iraqi people. We're going to stay the course. We're going to support this new government, and we're going to make sure that we win and that they win and that they're able to keep power. Those people, they may not like us. I'm sure they don't like having us there, but they'd rather have us be there than have suicide bombings going on or having all the people who they elected to power getting killed.
I don't buy it, Jim, and I'll tell you why. In the most recent Iraqi election, the majority party, the party that's now controlling the government, the Shiite party, had as part of its platform the United States had to leave Iraq. They wanted U.S. troops out of Iraq. The people voted for that. Now, the government has violated its own promise. It has broken its own promise. The United States has been paying, and I think you know this, Jim, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars under the table to these Iraqi politicians to violate their own promises to their own people and to pretend to support us while people like Ahmed Chalabi are making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars getting rich from our taxpayers. But just because we are bribing the government to go back on its word to its own people, that doesn't mean that its own people want it. The people of Iraq want us gone, and if Zarqawi has as little support as you and I both think he does, I'm not worried about him in a future Iraq.
I don't know if you and I are as far apart as we appear to be, because I recognize that the U.S. is going to have substantial drawdowns in troops. All I'm saying is don't do it on a timetable. Don't do it precipitously. Do it in a rational way tied to a corresponding strengthening of the new Iraqi government to fill the void so that when we do leave, it's not a bloodbath, it's not chaos, and it's not a disastrous defeat. You know, another thing is that you think Al-Qaeda was able to recruit because we went into Iraq. Wait till you see how much recruiting they do if we pull out of Iraq. And they can say, see, we defeated the great Satan. We defeated the United States. They always cut and run. They're
the problem with that argument.
Wherever they get challenged, they pull out.
I got to ask you to conclude, Jim.
By the way, can I plug my show before we close?
You can. Let me just make one response to what you have to say, then I'll let you plug your show. Just to conclude, I think that that Al-Qaeda, the argument that, oh, well, if they win, then they're going to win all over the place. That's the exact same argument, domino theory made in Vietnam. It won't hold. I want to conclude on a little bit note of agreement, which is that we are going to have to withdraw. But I think that if we set a timetable and we say to Iraq at the end of that timetable, we will have zero troops in Iraq. We actually have no designs on your territory, and that we will eventually leave it entirely to the Iraqi people. They will know that they're fighting for themselves and not for the United States. Jim, 15 seconds. Go plug your show.
Hey, you know, I hope people, if you like the debate, that you'll listen to my show, which is on for 2 hours on the same network. Before this show, and you can listen to it at the Jim Greenfield Show website, www.jimgreenfieldshow.com, which is also very funny, by the way.
And you can also hear Jim's show and mine on my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. I hope you enjoy the Inside Scoop. Tomorrow we're going to focus on the Abramoff scandals. We've got a resignation of Duke Cunningham, lots of people in Congress who are taking bribes. Tune in tomorrow.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They